Okay, please forgive me in advance if you're lucky enough to hear my dear son Moshe. He's with me in the office, and time was very tight today. This was the only time I could squeeze in, so my sincerest apologies. Okay, we discussed that you should not sit down to a proper seuda, like the Mishnah Shabbat tells us. We're afraid that if at the time that you're supposed to be lighting the candles, you already sit down to seuda, perhaps you can get distracted and eventually lose the opportunity of doing the mitzvah, certainly in its correct time. Therefore, once the time or close to the time that you should be lighting the menorah comes, we should be careful to refrain from doing any proper meals so that we don't lose the opportunity to do it correctly. The same way it's asur to start eating, we shouldn't either do any activities that may perhaps get us very deeply engrossed and then distract us at the time that we're supposed to really be doing the Chanukah menorah. Now, this is not strictly limited to eating and maybe even activities, but somebody who is going to be learning Torah, and he knows that once he gets into it, he really gets into it, and he gets distracted, and he can enjoy it. Such a person also needs to be careful, because at the end of the day, there's a set time, or correct time, to say the least, to be doing this, and we don't want that time to pass us by. Now, when it comes to eating or doing some sort of activity that may take more time than you need in order to be able to complete it before the time of the candles come, that's strictly by eating and work. However, when it comes to Torah, you tell yourself, okay, it's already a half hour before learning. I technically need an hour to learn the sukkah. I'm not going to learn for a whole half hour before because I don't want it to take up too much time. Over there, you don't have to be stringent. You can allow yourself to learn from a half hour before until the correct time so that you can actually at least, you know, grab that half hour of learning and not waste the full time that you could have had the opportunity to learn, but you don't want to waste the time so that you don't lose the opportunity of being able to do it before hadlakat nerot. There's a custom that women do not light the Hanukkah candle. Once they light the Hanukkah candles, women do not do any work during that period that the candles are required to be lit. So for that first half hour after the candles are lit, women should not do any melacha. Technically, there are some opinions that say even longer than a half hour they shouldn't be doing anything, but if they really insist on being able to do something, they can't just be frozen from all their work. So okay, so the first half hour they shouldn't do anything, but after that, they can. Some opinions say, no, the entire time that it's lit, they're not allowed to be doing anything. And we already explained that the reason for this is because the great significance that women played in this miracle, they too are involved to some effect, and they have the distinction of showing that, okay, right now, I'm not allowed to do any housework, any work that doesn't pertain necessarily to housework, she may be lenient and do, such as cooking and preparing food for the family. They don't have to wait the extra half hour so that they don't have any chance of being able to eat. Okay. Now, some shuls have a set time every single day. They have a shiur, and that time never changes. Now, happens to be, turns out this year, Hanukkah, if they keep the shiur at the set time, they may perhaps interfere with the time of Hadlakat Nerot. What should they do? We understand that we learned you shouldn't be learned. You shouldn't have any sort of seuda. You shouldn't do any melacha. We went all the way so far as to say you shouldn't even be learning at that time per se, so that you don't get distracted. But it seems that if you have a shiur at that time, you should probably push it off. Batei Knesset shemitkayem bahem b'chol yom shiure Torah im ha'kahal ha'mitpalelim. A shul that has a set time for a shiur, ben tefilat min hala arvit or la harvit, whatever exactly that time is, whether it's between min hala arvit, whether it's after arvit, im ne'el ha'magid shiur shakahal yachzeru shiur la harad ha'katan erot, יש להעדיף קיום מצווה הדלקה בזמנה, דהיינו שהציבור ילך לביתו להקדים סדר הכוכבים. If the rabbi giving the shiur is certain that the people would probably come back, they're not just going to stop the shiur, they'll eventually come back, excuse me for that, then they should continue. However, if he's afraid, and go ahead and light the menorah, however, if he's afraid that they may not actually come back, they're going to say that, you know, it's too difficult, we're already home, and this, and we're going to lose the opportunity to do the mitzvah of this, of having the shiur, you preferably have the shiur and light a little bit later. Someone who closes his store late, or someone who was working very late, this is a very important question. You have people who, they're not going to get home till very late, especially somebody who's afraid that by the time they come home, their kids are going to be sleeping, maybe even their wives are going to be sleeping. What's the correct thing to do? So the halacha is ba'al hanut shesogeret hanuto b'shat erev meucheret yomar ishto shetadlikne hanukah b'beto b'tzeta kochavim v'yatsa yideh chova b'hadlakata. So he's talking specifically about a store owner, but the concept obviously applies to anybody who works very late, and they know they won't be home at a normal hour. Let's say they get home at 10 o'clock at night. By the time they get home, their wife and their children are already sleeping. Or even the children are sleeping. It takes away a strong element of chinuch over there, an opportunity to really educate the children of the beauty of the mitzvah. What's the best thing to do? Should you light late anyway because you want to be the one to do the mitzvah, or should you have your wife perform the mitzvah on your behalf, and she'll include you, she'll be motziyu, she'll exempt you, or she'll be motziyu for that mitzvah. The preferable that they should light at a normal hour in the house, even though you're not present. So it might sound strange and it might feel wrong, but that's what's best. V'adif l'nho kach ma'ashe sheba'al abayit yedlik v'atzma b'la'achar hatisha metzed ha'kochavim. That would be the ideal. If she's lighting in the correct time, then making her wait till all hours of the night. Okay, it's an interesting point. Reb Moshe Feinstein would say that, let's say you have the opposite scenario. The husband's home on time, and the wife, for whatever reason, either she works and she's not coming home till a little bit later, or someone who's very vigilant about the mitzvot, and he makes sure to come home on time to light in the proper time. However, his wife is not around. She's doing an errand. She's working. She can't be there for the time for the ideal time to light the menorah. So he tells himself, you know something? I have the opportunity. I'm home to do the mitzvah on the right time. It's okay. I'll have her in mind. Of course, she'll feel bad that she missed the opportunity to do the mitzvah. But he makes the calculation. Hey, I can perform the mitzvah in its best way. I'm not going to allow the absence of my wife interfere with that. So he tells himself, I'm going to do it anyway. Says Reb Moshe Feinstein, in fact, he should not light in the correct time, and he should wait for his wife to come home in order for her to feel that she was important enough to wait for, and he should push off the mitzvah, even though he's excited to do the mitzvah, and he has the opportunity to do it. The best, most ideal thing would be for him to push off the mitzvah, light later, and make sure that the whole family is together and everybody feels that they were afforded the proper kavod. Now, Rav Shalom Shmadron, who was a very unbelievable speaker, he was a magid, they called him. He would go around to different cities and all over the world, really, lecturing and inspiring people. He said an unbelievable story with the Hafetz Chaim. He said one time the Hafetz Chaim on Hanukkah went to visit his Rebbe. His Rebbe's name was Rav Nachum Kaplan of Harodna. And he went to Reb Kaplan, and he sees that it's already well past the time that he should be lighting menorah, and the menorah is not lit. And he can't imagine why in the world his Rebbe would be waiting to light the menorah. He's one of the greatest Rosh Hashivas in the world at the time, and he should have probably been more vigilant about the timing of the performance of this mitzvah. And he sees that as he's talking to his Rosh Hashiva, his wife comes home, immediately he jumps up, and he prepares to get himself ready to light the menorah. So he asked his Rebbe, he said, you know, couldn't you just light in the right time? And then whenever she would come home, she would come home. He says, yeah, of course, technically. But let me tell you something. We actually discussed this Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. The Gemara says that if you only have enough money for one candle, Ner Shabbat, or for Ner Hanukkah, which one should you do? The Gemara says you should do Ner Shabbat. Why? Because Ner Shabbat is for the purpose of Shalom Bayit, for peace and harmony in the home. Therefore, Shalom Bayit is more important than the mitzvah of publicizing the miracle of Hanukkah, Pirsumei Nisa. So he said, I made a simple calculation. If I only had enough money, which mitzvah do I pursue? The mitzvah of Shalom Bayit, of peace in the home. Now that I have the option to do both, but it was just going to be that I won't perform the mitzvah in its ideal time, isn't it obvious that you should wait for your wife? Isn't it something so simple that you understand that if you wait for her, she's going to feel good, it'll increase the harmony in the home? And he learned a very powerful lesson from there. He learned that sometimes we get hung up on the details, and it comes at the expense of some very, very great things that we could be doing by negating the perfect time and really look at the broader picture and be more inclusive and have everybody involved in the mitzvah. Okay, somebody who knows he's coming home very late, and he, so we discussed such a person should be careful that he should make sure to appoint his wife as to see that the whole family doesn't lose the opportunity to do the mitzvah correctly. Okay, someone misha yegia lebeito b'layla b'sha'am u'hanet b'mechanukah v'lefanam mitzvah tefillah tarvit u'mitzvah tefillah ne'er Hanukkah. Somebody comes home, it's 10 o'clock at night, he knows there's an arbit in town right now at 10 o'clock. Should I light now? Or should I run out and pray arbit first and then come light after? Yagdim le'tbalel tefillah tarvit she'tadir v'eno tadir tadir kodem. He should go pray arbit first and then come home and light the menorah. Why? He says an extremely important rule that is very common in halacha, tadir v'she'enu tadir, and we'll discuss this again. It comes up by Havdalah on Saturday night with lighting the Hanukkah candles. And he says, tadir v'she'enu tadir. If you have a mitzvah that's in front of you that comes frequently, v'she'enu tadir, and a mitzvah that comes extremely infrequently, tadir kodem. The mitzvah that takes precedence is the mitzvah that comes frequent. So in this instance, arbi comes every night. The mitzvah, however, of lighting Hanukkah is only 8 nights during the year. Therefore, the ruling would be that the more frequent mitzvah takes precedence. Ve'od, sheyesh lakim kriyat shema shi'idoraita. Anyway, during Arbit, you pray, you say the kriyat shema, and there's a mitzvah de'oraita to say kriyat shema in the morning and kriyat shema at night. And the mitzvah of lighting menorah is only a mitzvah de rabbanan, a rabbinic decree. V'achar kach yadik ne Hanukkah. He should first pray Arbit because you have the element of De'oraita, of saying Kriyat Shema at night. Then he should light the menorah. V'keyem gam pirsumei nisa. It's not like he could only do one or the other. Here he has the opportunity to actually do both. Ben nasoi hametareach etzel aviv b'shabbat Hanukkah. You have someone who is leaving on Friday afternoon, after Plag HaMencha, which is, we said, approximately an hour and a quarter or so before nightfall. But he's married. He's going to go with his family to eat by his father, and then he's going to walk home. Yadlik bebeto achar Plag HaMencha, b'ofen shanerot yadliku ad achar chatzi sha'a mitzet hakochavim, shema'acher b'chozer lishan bebeto achiyuv ala bayit. He should, so you have a son who was going with his wife. He's, let's say, it's an hour drive, but it's an hour walk and, I don't know, 5-minute drive. So he drives the 5 minutes, a few miles to his father's house, but he's leaving by Peleg HaMencha. He should already light in that time frame, which is well before nightfall. Go eat by his father's house Friday night, walk home, and when he comes home, he should make sure that he puts sufficient oil that the menorah should still be lit. Because the point of lighting the menorah, the main obligation is an obligation on the household as opposed to the individual. And this way, even though he's lighting it earlier, so long as when he comes home the lights are still lit, he benefits from the fact that the lights are still lit, and he was able to make the beracha and everything from before Shabbat. Okay, Be'ezrat Hashem, when we continue, we'll start from here.